Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Los Angeles. I'm John Lovett, and in my attic, there's a portrait of me slowly going bald. We've got a great show for you tonight. Michael Urie is here. Kel Kreip is here. But first, let's get into it. What a week. On Monday, Donald Trump became the first sitting president to attend an NBA Finals game. Can't wait, huge fan, said Trump before pronouncing both K's and Knicks. Trump only decided to go after being assured multiple times by his staff that none of his children would be getting married at the event. Arriving in Manhattan, Trump remarked, "You know, I used to have sex here," while pointing at his crotch. Make any sense? Here is Trump getting booed on the Jumbotron during the national anthem. Bright star. Quick, cut to Chalamet, said the panicked camera operator before realizing that Tina Fey had already swallowed him whole like a snake. The president was also booed at watch parties across the Big Apple. It was as if all of New York City was booing a single man. I couldn't imagine anything worse other than being a single woman. Trump also fell asleep at certain points of the game, though you already assumed that. Sir, wake up. Epstein's alive. Sir, wake up. We found your childhood sled and then threw it in the garbage instead of donating it like you asked. Sir, wake up. You took your weird penis out. Trump's presence created a headache for the game's other 20,000 attendees who were told to arrive at least 2 hours early to get through enhanced security. In response, New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani, who bought tickets to the game to attend himself, announced that an additional watch party would be held at Bryant Park, though you can't have open containers in the park because Mamdani has instituted Sharia law. Trump making the NBA Finals all about himself led to comments like this one by Stephen A. Smith.
If it causes the New York Knicks to lose tonight, I'm blaming him. I'm blaming the President of the United States.
We'd like to think we had something to do with it, said the San Antonio Spurs. And then, while Trump watched and napped, the Knicks lost. We were overconfident after a series of victories and caught off guard by a surprisingly strong defense. That's about the war in Iran, but it also applies to the game. And in the end, we were bodied by a petrostate run by religious fundamentalists. That's about the game, but also applies to the war in Iran. On his way home from the game, Trump did an interview on the tarmac to spin his appearance.
What did you think of the reception you got from the Knicks fans tonight?
I thought it was great. I mean, it was certainly amazing. It was, I think, mostly cheers. It was loud and it was very enthusiastic.
It was loud and very enthusiastic, said Trump about every one of his wives' perfunctory fake orgasms. Speaking of fake and perfunctory, Trump has been accusing Los Angeles, where we are currently recording, of widespread voter fraud now that reality star Spencer Pratt has fallen behind progressive city council member Nithya Raman in the vote count. Now, L.A. does have a motive to steal an election from Spencer Pratt because most of L.A.'s voters don't want him to be mayor. If you think about it. Wrote Trump on Truth Social, not possible for Spencer Pratt to have lost the L.A. runoffs after the big lead he had. Just try an insurrection in Los Angeles, Trump. Where are you going to go? City Hall? The county administrative building on Temple? Individual supervisor offices? Los Angeles divides authority across multiple layers of government, creating a convoluted bureaucracy that stymies progress and allows politicians to pass the buck, you idiot. Besides, you think the Pratt voters on the west side are going to go all the way downtown on a weekday to launch an insurrection? I don't think so. Maybe you can get them as far as West Adams. That's only if you promise to do an insurrection in Culver City next time. Republicans have latched on to the slow pace of California's ballot counting as a reason to suspect fraud because, famously, when you're committing a massive felony, you want to do it as slowly as possible. Really drag it out over days. The striptease of election fraud, I call it. When asked for evidence of voter fraud, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, said this.
But what evidence is there to prove that there was rigged?
Look, I don't. Some of these efforts are so diabolical and so far upstream it is impossible to prove. But I think everybody knows instinctively something is wrong here.
It just instinctively feels wrong, Mike Johnson said, pulling the hockey mask down over his wife's face while asking her to call him Hollander. California. You can say a lot about the Democrats of the state of California, but the word diabolical would not occur to any of us. Have you seen these people? Diabolical? Are you kidding me? According to recent polling, Mayor Karen Bass was up by 18 points in a one-on-one with Pratt, but down by 4 points in a one-on-one with Nithia. So the Democratic establishment, which is behind Karen Bass, in a diabolical maneuver, rigged the election to make it harder for her to win in November. Now that I say that, that does sound like California Democrats. So let me back up. California vote counting is a notoriously long process, as every registered voter receives a mail-in ballot, and every ballot mailed by Election Day and received within 7 days is counted. Also, according to California state law, the ballots must first be sorted by the voter's astrological sign. It doesn't change the final outcome, but it does slow things down. Plus, if you interrupt California Secretary of State Shirley Weber while she's counting, she gets flustered and has to start over again. Of course, this is all ridiculous. The only LA fraud we really need to get to the bottom of is Gelson's. It's Pavilion's products at Erewhon prices. What are we doing? Why are we shopping here? It's crazy what they're doing at the Gelson's. Get a bit of applause. And he's carried out onto the street. The new mayor. I haven't heard Karen Bass say one fucking thing about what's going on at these Gelson's prices. Even Republican gubernatorial candidate Steve Hilton, who won a spot on the November ballot, went on CNN Monday to dismiss Trump's concerns.
We take it very seriously because we don't want to let people down, and we've been very vigilant on it. We're keeping an eye on it. We've got teams standing by, lawyers standing by, and we've seen nothing that would give us cause to intervene in that way.
Continued Hilton, everything looks legit as I seem to be winning. How many people here found out he had a British accent from that video? Isn't that shocking? Isn't that shocking? That's why Trump blew a fuse when Meet the Press host Kristen Welker asked him to back up his claims about LA's mayor race.
They're cheating on the election.
Do you have evidence to support that?
All I have to do is look.
That's not evidence.
And I listen to people. And let's see what happens.
But, sir, that's not evidence.
Do you think it's appropriate?
That's how they count the votes in California.
Do you think it's appropriate? They're crooked, just like you're crooked. Your press is crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked.
To be fair, I'm not crooked, but let's
really?
Let's
well, you play right into their hands.
Let's continue.
You're either crooked or you're stupid.
It's a good line. I feel like we can stop asking Trump if he has evidence. At this point, it's like asking Rihanna if she has any new music. What kind of question is that? What are you hoping to gain? Trump then stormed off.
Let's call it quits because I've had enough. Thank you, darling. Have a good time.
Mr. President, I traveled all the way to Wisconsin.
Please, Mr. President, I came all the way to Wisconsin. It's so much dairy. I'm half black and half Jewish. I have one cheese curd. It's like Meet the Press, more like Meet the Toilet. And then finally, as he was leaving, Trump stepped on the microphone and crushed it.
We traveled all the way to Wisconsin for this interview.
Me next, do it to me next, said Lindsey Graham, already flat on the floor, panting like a dog. And we have a great show for you tonight. We'll be right back with Michael Urie.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Chime. Chime is changing the way people bank. They offer the most rewarding fee-free banking, built for you, not the 1%. They're not like traditional old banks that charge you overdraft and monthly fees. They have thousands of fee-free ATMs because why pay to get your own money? Chime members can benefit from up to $1,150 in annual rewards fee-free. Get 5% cash back on Chime Card in a category of your choice, like gas or groceries. You can get savings that grow faster with a 3.75% APY. That's 9 times higher than the national average. Plus, you get premium travel perks like airport lounge access and 24/7 travel concierge included with your Chime Card. They also have SpotMe, which lets you overdraft up to $200 fee-free. Chime is rated 5 stars by USA Today for customer service. Real humans, 24/7. Chime is not just smarter banking. It's the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. Head to chime.com/loveit. That is chime.com/loveit. It only takes a few minutes to sign up. Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges, stated annual percentage yield, and cash back for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking accounts ranking based on a J.D. Power survey published October 20th, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to Chime.com/disclosures. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bombas. The weather is warming. The days are longer. We're saying yes to more plans and finally getting outside, running, hiking, moving again. It's the perfect time to upgrade your everyday go-to footwear with Bombas. Bombas sports socks are super comfortable and designed with sports-specific tech for running, cycling, yoga, hiking, you name it. I do a lot of Pilates and I do a lot of running, and I use Bombas socks for both. I love my Bombas socks. I got the vintage crew. I think they call them half calf now. I actually was on the website last night because I was thinking about getting some more. And unrelated to this commerce, unrelated to this advertisement. I'm just a Bombas guy. I'm just shopping at Bombas.
Passion is Bombas.
I love it. They're the best. The best. They're cushioned where you need it. Your feet. Sweat wicking. And you don't slide around. So you're not constantly adjusting your socks. And with the weather warming, and by the way, that's a real thing. Like, there's a design on the way the sock that's like different than other places. It's not just words. Not just speeches. The weather warming, it's time to add Bombas sandals. Their Friday slides, which I also have, are made with a lightweight and waterproof EVA that's soft but still supportive. Wear those every day too. They're super comfortable. You can slip them on and go. I've already talked about my experience with Bombas, so you should get them. For every item you purchase, an essential clothing item, is donated to someone facing housing insecurity. One purchase, one donated, with over 150 million donations and counting. And I honestly would get them even if they didn't help a single person. If I found out that every time you bought a pair of Bombas, Bombas threw a pair of socks in the garbage, I would still get them. Head over to bombas.com/loveit. Use code loveit for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/loveit. Code loveit at checkout. bombas.com/loveit. We'll have Michael Urie and Kel Kripe in just a moment. But first, thank you to everyone who is a friend of the pod. If you're not, now is a great time to subscribe. Subscribers get tons of bonus content, including ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, access to our excellent Substack newsletters, including Open Tabs. You get Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster, which dives into the latest polling, and ad-free breaking news updates. And your subscription supports independent media that you can trust. Plus, subscribers get special perks at Crooked events, including Crooked Con, ticket discounts, and other exclusives at that event. So please go to crooked.com/friends to sign up now. You get a lot of great stuff, and it's a great way to support independent pro-democracy media. No Barry Weiss telling us what to do. And if you're in LA, you can still get tickets at crooked.com/events to check out our new studio and upcoming guests, including SNL alum Jay Farrow, comedian, actor, and literal clown school graduate Zach Zucker, and many more. We have a special Pride episode on June 16th. That's my mom's birthday. Featuring Atsuko Okatsuka, Mark Indelicato, Mickey Meeks, Bruce Valanche, Brendan Scannell, and more. All right. Please welcome to the stage. I know I need to see a therapist, but this is the next best thing. It's Shrinking Zone Michael Urie. Hi. Thank you. Good to see you.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Good to see
it's
you.
It's so good to see you.
Shrinking is on its third season.
Yes, the third season is out. You can watch the first three seasons.
I can't believe I can get as high as you want.
Is that all right?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
I feel like I want to be up here with you.
Isn't it so interesting to be on a show about therapy, even though the fad of therapy is over? Like, it's sort of in the past now. I mean, like, no, I remember when the show launched, it was like, oh, that's so perfect. We're all getting therapy. And now it's like, who's doing that?
Who's doing that anymore? Now we're just like living in our own filth.
Yeah.
Our emotional filth.
Yeah, because we're so busy.
Well, yeah, when the show first came on, it was right after the pandemic when everybody got into therapy, or when the taboo of mental health was sort of lifted, mm-hmm. right? Like, I remember we started talking about our feelings during the pandemic because
yes.
everyone was depressed. It was like the first time in humanity when the whole world was depressed.
Yeah, and isn't it funny how because we made the wrong president, we never processed our collective trauma.
Yes.
Kind of in the same way how, like, after the Spanish flu, it was really about how World War I was so terrible, but really we'd also been through a terrible pandemic. But,
yes.
but we never really wrote as many poems about that, did we, Michael Urie?
No, we
Not
didn't.
As many poems about the influenza. A lot no. of poems about the trenches. Not a lot of poems about the...
True.
Hey, it says here you have a googly eye.
That's right. I do.
I don't even know what the... Hey, what's that mean?
Okay. So, you know, some people have like a lazy eye. Uh-huh. You might call it a lazy eye or like cross-eyed. Uh-huh. I call mine a googly eye. Technically, it is the... It is a severed nerve in my eye. It's the fourth nerve, and I have a cerebral palsy of the fourth nerve. That's what a doctor told me it was. Uh-huh. And it may have been caught... I may have been born with it, or it may have been caused by a head trauma. I had a few head traumas when I was a kid. I did that thing where you spin around and get dizzy, and I hit my head on a coffee table. One time I was running up the front sidewalk, and I tripped, and I hit my head on a step. So I had a couple of head traumas. That might have been what severed the nerve. I didn't even know I had this until I was like 17. Huh. And somebody pointed out that my eye was crossed. And I was like, yeah, doesn't your eye go cross when you look a certain direction and you see double too? Well, apparently not everyone. That's not true for everyone. But when I look, like if I'm sitting here and I look at you, can you see how it goes? Oh, yeah, you see it. Yeah. It goes, and I can see double. Whoa. So like I can see you down here and I see you up here. Ah. So I used to use it to cheat in school. No kidding. I could like sit and cheat off of my next door neighbor's paper in school.
You're just like kind of one of the X-Men that didn't make it in the comics. I hit puberty, then I could look in both directions at once. We're like, get out of here. It's not that useful. We can't do anything with that. We can't stop Magneto with that. But how are we going to use that? How are we going to use this stuff, Magneto? I mean, maybe they'd think about it for an hour.
And then I keep seeing double and running into things and like, not that one, the other one.
Yeah. Guys, Magneto's either to the left or to the right.
But I know how to control it. I mean, if I look a certain, like if I'm looking at you here, I'm not seeing double and you can't tell that I have a googly eye. But if I look at you there, whoa, there it is. Isn't that crazy? So like when I'm working in front of the camera, I know how to adjust. And I always thought, I've got this down. No one's going to possibly know. And then I was like having just small talk with one of the focus pullers at Shrinking, the people who like pull the focus for the camera. And we were just chatting. And I was like, yeah, you know, and I've got this googly eye thing. And he was like, oh, yeah, I know. And I was like, oh, I guess he's looking close.
Yeah, looking right at
but when
you.
I'm in a play, like on stage, I don't adjust because the audience can't see. For the most part, unless you're that guy with really good eyes, they can't really see, and so I don't really care what my co-star thinks, because you cheat out, you know, like on stage, yeah. You want to cheat out so that the audience gets your face, and so I was recently doing O Mary on Broadway.
I saw you in O Mary.
Yes, that's right, you came.
I did, yes. It was great.
O Mary, the amazing play by Cola Scola. I was doing it with Jinx Monsoon, the brilliant and talented Jinx Monsoon from Drag Race. She was playing Mary, and I was playing Mary's teacher. And Mary's teacher comes, I'm not going to spoil anything, but Mary's teacher comes and gives her some acting lessons. And so in this scene, when I'm giving her acting lessons, there's this really funny exchange where she's not very good at it. And he's like, all right, you know, mean it when you say it. Try to mean it when you say it. And then she does it, and it's really bad. Okay, well, look at me. Try looking at me when you say it. And then she looks like down at my crotch. And I'm like, look me in the eye. And she goes, which eye? And then I say, both. And she does this really funny bit where she goes, looking at both eyes. Very funny, always kills. So we do the whole run. We do this show together for 2 months. And at the closing night party, Jinx... We're at the party, and we're like, everyone's like, oh, I'm going to miss you. And Jinx is like, I have to tell you something. Every night, now that we're closed, I can tell you, every night when we got to the scene that you're teaching me about acting, and I had to say, which eye, I imagined your googly, she's like looking right at me. She's like, I felt like, I didn't know which eye to look at, but the audience didn't know, and I never told you because I was so afraid that it would break us both up. But you know, that's the truth. When you meet somebody who has a funny eye, you don't know which one to look at. And here we were.
And you don't even know if they have a sense of humor about it.
And you don't know if they have a sense of humor. So every night she would go, which eye? And then feel a little bad.
Because it wasn't added for your Google
eye. No, it was
scripted.
Always,
it's always
there.
In there.
I just happened to have one, and it fit in, and it is an extra joke for her and everyone sitting on that side of the audience.
So Apple TV Plus. Plus what?
Why is everything plus? Disney Plus, Paramount Plus,
what's
Apple
the plus?
TV Plus?
Where'd the plus come from?
I don't know. Great question.
What's your favorite thing about the iPhone 17 Pro Max? Is it the camera or how everyone who has money and thinks of themselves as interesting got the orange one? It's like, oh, wow, you're so avant-garde. You're so counterculture. You got the orange one.
It's that.
Do you appreciate the unibody construction with the vapor chamber cooling?
That's on a phone?
Yeah. That's part of the new iPhone 17 Max Pro, Pro Max.
Vapor, like it cools it, like so the phone doesn't get hot?
I don't know.
Don't know.
Hey, I saw you on the show Elsbeth. You were on the first season of the show Elsbeth, and we were discussing this today. You also have a character on The Good Wife and The Good Fight.
Yes.
And Elsbeth is part of the Good Wife, Good Fight universe.
Right.
But your character on Elsbeth is not the character you played on The Good Fight, Good Wife.
No.
Who was like a CIA person.
Yes, Stephen Dinoverna was that guy's name.
And so in that world, does that mean there's a Michael Urie who will show up as a character? You know what I'm saying? How does it work? Because you can't, what does it work? If someone, you know what I'm saying?
I do. I know exactly what you're saying. It's crystal clear. They broke the cycle. They broke that rule. Elsbeth does not follow that same rule.
Because couldn't it be that you were the CIA person in character as the effete rich person on that episode of Elsbeth season one?
I'm sorry, effete?
I mean, you played a rich gay guy who knew a lot about art.
That's fair.
I mean, for a sort of textbook effete. Do you not think? I thought the character was effete.
He's effete. No, you're right. He's effete. I don't know why I would be offended by that. It's pride.
It's pride.
Why would I be offended by being called effete? You're right.
Hey,
that's my own internalized homophobia.
Let that go.
I'm sorry.
Let that go. Let it go. Let it out.
That is
let it free.
That's totally
therapy.
But no, they broke that. So now people who played characters on The Good Wife and Good Fight can appear on Elsbeth as different characters. However, I love this idea that the character I play on Elsbeth, whose name I can't come up with right this second, was undercover in the CIA as Stephen Dinoverna.
I like that. Hey, I got married a few weeks ago, and we forced all the attendees to sing One Day More after the Friday night dinner. We handed out the lyrics, and we assigned parts.
You did?
Yeah. And... Ginger Minge, the drag queen, led the whole wedding
awesome.
In singing this song. Now, Jason Segel and you have a Les Mis moment singing on the season of Shrinking.
Correct.
Let's take a look.
Believe me, you can what never you change. Will. There is a life duty that I've sworn to change. No, you will sing so wide.
You son brand
you know nothing.
Hey, there's Harrison Ford. All right, I think we've seen plenty.
Thank you.
What did Harrison Ford think about that?
He had no idea what we were about to do.
He didn't know.
He had no idea. The script said Jimmy and Brian sing the confrontation from Les Mis. That's all it said. And I don't think he knows what that is. I don't think he understands what that means. He might know what Les Mis is, like, as a, you know, as a property, but I don't think he was at all aware. And we just started singing. And so his reactions are all completely authentic.
Do you think Harrison Ford and Oh Mary can exist in the same room at the same time? Like, if he would, I would like him to see it. Do you think he would?
I think he would go, yeah. I think he would see
it. But he hasn't seen it. He doesn't seem like a New York guy.
He doesn't love, I don't think he loves New York, although he has spent tons of time in New York. Speaking of pride, I once saw Harrison Ford at the New York Pride Parade. This is crazy. It was 2010, and I was on a float during the parade, and we were
just
going...
Just eye candy, or was it connected to something?
It was for a play. I was doing a play. I was dancing in my underwear and in a cage. No, it was for this play called The Temperamentals, which was about the Mattachine Society, which was the first political organization for gay people in 1950.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Hay, who started it, later started the Radical Fairies.
Oh.
The Mattachine Society is still a thing. But
Frank Kameny.
He
protested outside the White House connected to the Mattachine.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, exactly. Mm. And so we were in like a 1950s convertible in the parade.
Oh, that's
the
nice.
Cast of the Temperamentals. Very cool. And so we're going down, Fifth Avenue during the parade and just waving, you know, like you do in a parade, waving and looking at people and saying, hi. And I see standing on a lamppost, you know, somebody standing on a lamppost to see over I see this guy in a suit with sunglasses, and I'm like, doesn't that guy look like Harrison Ford? And I point at him, and everybody in my float looks, and then we go about our business. And then, and nobody thinks anything of it. Like, there was a guy who looked like Harrison Ford at the Pride Parade. So then years later, I'm working with Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers, and he has a bodyguard with him for this job, and the bodyguard comes up and he's like, hey, you made a lot of trouble for me during the gay pride parade a few years back. I was looking after Harrison Ford. He wanted to watch. You pointed at him, and everyone started rushing him, and I had to get him out of there.
Wow. You almost got Harrison Ford killed.
I almost got
and
him.
He gets killed. There's no, I think Shrinky could potentially have happened without Harrison Ford, but I think he was a big part of getting that thing going.
I'm sure it would have been a very different show, for sure. He almost got like, what's the opposite of gay bashed? He almost got bashed by gays, I guess, is what you would say.
Yeah, it's the opposite of gay bashed is gay bashed. it's like flammable and inflammable, in a sense. And now you're talking about, and then he's dead, and then you're here being like, actually, Dustin Hoffman was fun to work with on the set. He actually didn't even know we were going to sing it. Hey, Michael, inspired by your hit show on Apple Plus TV, Shrinking, we're going to crack open the Egg of Truth. Great. It's next to me. All right. However, we're going to change it today. Because we're going to not just have the Egg of Truth, which is this, we also are going to have the Egg of Therapeutic Follow-Ups.
Okay, good.
Okay? And so we're going to answer a question, and then we're going to answer a follow-up about it.
Okay, great. This is funny. My character on the show is not a therapist.
Yes, we talked about this last time, and I decided I don't care.
Great. Just making sure.
What is the ideal time to have dinner?
5:30. I know, I'm early. I intermittent fast, so I like to get done.
Do you think that could be connected to your relationship with your mother?
Yeah, she was very strict about dinner.
If you only had 24 hours to live, would you come on this show again?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Where in your body are you feeling that?
Bladder.
Bladder, bladder, bladder. If you could have dinner with any person, living or dead, it would be living, right?
Is that the whole question?
Yeah, and who would your dinner guest be?
I think it would be John Lovett, dead.
Wow, John, me dead. Hey, what's the worst advice you've ever received?
Do love it or leave it again.
You don't. Hey.
No. I love
Wait,
it.
What if you're...
the worst advice I ever received was don't come out of the closet. How about that?
And that was what you said Harrison Ford told you.
That's what Harrison told from the lamppost
he's like,
in 2010.
Too much. I can tell. Button it up.
Stay in.
You want a Hollywood... Just stay in. Just shout it across Fifth Avenue. Stay in. Hey, whose voice do you hear when you say that? That's a therapy question.
You hear me.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It brought to you by Hims. If you want to know what's really worth your time and energy when it comes to losing weight, skip the guesswork and get weight loss by Hims. Hims offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications that now include the Wegovy pill at its lowest price ever and the Wegovy pen, plus lifestyle tips to support you along the way. I've got a lifestyle tip. Use the pen or the pills. Just saying, you know, it's like, oh boy, oh, you got some tips? Yeah, this magic drug. That's a tip. Through Hims, everything happens online. You'll connect with a licensed provider. We'll determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary, and it doesn't stop there. Hims makes hitting your goals seamless by having access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and an in-app lifestyle and nutrition support like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. With a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hims makes it simple to find a weight loss approach that fits your world and your wallet, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. Ready to reach your goals? Visit hims.com/loveit to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/loveit. Hims.com/loveit. based on advertised cash price for 30-day supply of medication only. Membership required, a fee not included, and billed separately. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions, visit Hims.com. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Upwork. Scaling a business takes the right expertise at the right time. Upwork helps growing teams quickly bring in specialized freelancers so you can move faster and take your business to the next level. Upwork is a one-stop platform to find, hire, and pay expert freelancers across web and software development, data and analytics, marketing, business operations, and more. It gives your business fast access to specialized talent across 125-plus categories so you can fill skill gaps, launch projects sooner, and scale support up or down without committing to full-time headcount. You can browse profiles, review past work, get help scoping the role so you can hire with confidence and get started quickly. With Business Plus, skip the endless searching. Get matched with Upwork's top 1% of talent and find the right freelancer in under 6 hours. Upwork also cuts down operational hassle by handling things like contracts and payments in one place so you can spend more time running the business. Thousands of growing businesses already trust Upwork to hire flexible, high-quality freelance talent for everything from one-off projects to ongoing support. It's free to sign up and posting a job is easy. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That is Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. And we're back. Please welcome to the stage, it's TikTok's own Kel Kripe. Hi, good to see you.
So good to be back.
Good to see you. Oh, hey.
Hey, everybody.
You know, you have a show called What the Ruck.
Yes!
And you put people put on heavy weights
yes.
and walk around.
Well, heavy is debatable. It's about like 10, 12 pounds. You guys know rucking? It's like just wearing a weighted vest and going on a walk. It's great for keeping your workouts low impact, good for joint pain. You know this?
No, I didn't know this.
Okay, once you learn so about exciting. What rucking is, you're going to see it everywhere.
Yeah, I did it. Jokes aside.
I did
it this weekend. Coincidentally.
Really?
Coincidentally. I bought two weighted vests at the Target. One for me, one for my buddy Spencer. We threw on those weighted vests. We walked all around.
Isn't it the best?
It's great. Because like, you're on a walk and you're still tired at the end.
Yes, and then you take it off and you kind of feel like you fly for a second.
Yes. Yes, you're like, boy, I've never been so high up off the ground.
But, yes.
But for this vest being gone, you know?
But so for my show, we just have a friend on and we give them a weighted vest and we go on a walk along the LA River and we play awesome games like Ruck, Marry, Kill. Stuck between a ruck and a hard place.
Huh?
And what do you look for in a ruck, buddy?
Wait, does only the guest have the vest? Do you have a vest
we
too?
We all have them.
Okay, because it'd be sort of shitty to not have everyone in a vest.
No, we even make sure the cameraman wears a vest. Wow. And you can't see him.
And
he has to walk backwards to film the show.
Carry a camera.
Yeah, it's amazing. Shout out Trevor.
Hey Trevor, shout out to you for being forced to wear a vest for no reason whatsoever.
Why is it called Ruck? Alan Ruck invented it.
I think because of Alan Ruck.
Alan Ruck invented it.
Because named after Alan Ruck. That's of course what it is.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so funny though because rucking is either like for like middle-aged women like recommended by their doctors to like keep
things
for bone density, or it's like ex-Marines doing the hardest workout you've ever seen trying to make it harder.
I would say that in Los Angeles there is a strong overlap in the Venn diagram between middle-aged women and ex-Marines, because if you're in a gym class in Los Angeles and you look around and you only see guys, it's actually not going to be so hard. If you look around and you see 12 of the pointiest fucking women you've ever seen in your life, and then like one guy, you're like, this is gonna be the hardest workout in the state of California, mm-hmm. as a rule of thumb.
I started taking 80s dance with my girlfriend on Fridays. It's like a beginner hip hop 80s themed workout class, and it's my favorite.
Wow.
No Marines there.
Hey, you have a one-person show in the Hollywood at the Hollywood Fringe.
Yes.
It's directed by Mitra Juhari, friend of the show.
Yes, love Mitra so much. She's brilliant.
Did you have any revelations about yourself as you were writing it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a solo show about my life, so I do feel like revelations were a big part of the writing process. It's so wonderful. I'm doing it at the LGBT Center five times this month. It's called The Magic Computer. And it's kind of like I've been having these thoughts around memory, and especially as a trans person who looks so different in so many of my past photos, I was having a really hard time reconciling, like, acknowledging my past when the person in my pictures reflected everything I spent so long getting away from. And what's a bummer is when you try to forget about the past, you lose along with it all of the lovely people and memories you have along with it. And so the idea is kind of this magic computer that contains all your past selves, photos of all your eras, and it can present it to you in a way that helps you synchronize into one.
Wow.
But I paper mache'd the computer. And the fun way to say it is that I used to be a hot girl, and this computer has all my secrets. So, but it's a lot about memory, and I've found so much peace with accepting my past, and like, there's so many of these photos I never used to be able to look at, and now I'm able to look at them so peacefully and like with love. And my hope when people leave the show is just that they kind of maybe want to go back and look at that photo album era of a time they weren't really kind to themselves and kind of maybe look at it with nicer eyes.
That's so nice. Because, you know, my now husband, we're saying husband, is trans, and we have a picture of Ari as a girl in our living room. And I think it did took them time to get to the place where it was like, hey, that's just a fun picture of me that I like to point to people when they come in. And so when we have friends come over to the house for the first time and we're sitting down, Ari will just be like, well, there's me as a girl. That's me as a girl.
Yeah.
That's me as a girl. You know, it's on the coffee table.
And I think a lot of the, like a thesis in it too, is that there's no guidebook for how to react to pre-transition photos.
Well, like, there are guidebooks, but they say, stop doing this. This is all wrong.
Yeah.
Ew. Cancel. Bad.
Yeah. But then it's interesting because I talk to so many trans friends about memory, and it's like, it makes you feel like you're not allowed to have access to your own past anymore. Like, even my closest friends who are so loving, I'll show them a picture of me because, fun fact, I was prom queen. and like, if I show this photo of me with like long hair, feminine, and a dress and heels, even my most loving friends, their reaction is, like, they don't know what to do. And I kind of wanted to like lead the charge, like by example, of like how we can react to these things normally. And I say in the show that like the only person that's ever reacted properly is a dentist named Phil. And one time we were out on like a bar crawl in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I was so nervous for him to see my license. I was like clutching it to my chest because the photo is me and I'm like 16 years old. And I showed it to a bouncer, and I didn't grab it back in time, and Phil leaned forward, and he just goes, oh my gosh, I look so different too. And he held his card out next to mine, and we just kind of giggled together about how we both look different, because everyone looks different as we grow up. And I think normalizing, we look different. Sometimes it's a gender swap, sometimes it's 15 pounds. Like, it's all the same, and I think the more we can learn to look back kinder and accept each other in like all our shapes and forms, the more like empathetic we can be together and like less stigmatized about looking different.
Yeah, I do think sometimes there's a way in which like conversations around trans issues, for some valid reasons, I think some kind of, I don't know, holdover reasons, it's really kept separate, right? Mm-hmm. And even like, oh, these are photos. I don't know how to process these photos. Mm-hmm. And I think about photos of a relationship you are no longer in.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with, forget the photo, like what do you do with those memories, right?
Yeah.
Like what do you do with a period of your life that you don't feel totally at ease with, inside of which you had great experiences that you don't want to not think about?
And you know what you do? You get tickets to the Magic Computer at the Los Angeles LGBT Center this June.
And you can...
Wait.
There's a code, right, for the tickets?
Yes, I would love to give code LOVEIT to anyone listening for some discounted tickets.
Hollywoodfringe.org. So go check out the show.
Oh my gosh, wait. I had one funny bit. Obviously, it's like weird to talk about your own show. So I just had two reviews I was hoping you could read really
quick. Okay, great.
So I have them right here so you could read this one and then swipe.
If you know Kel from their videos online, you're familiar with their brand of wholesome, silly humor, but this show expands on those jokes in a wonderfully heartfelt, vulnerable way. Kel has an amazing knack for making everyone feel like a friend of theirs, and this production showcases that beautifully. The Magic Computer helps Kel process their journey of gender discovery, and in turn, Kel helps us, the audience, to feel joy, whimsy, empathy, and to laugh really, really, really hard. What I liked that the seats had cushions. It really helped.
So those were two reviews I just thought if you're like on the fence. Cushioned seats, I mean. Mitra and I worked really hard on getting cushions on those seats.
You gotta people gotta feel comfortable in every way, you know, physically, psychologically, socially, mentally, you know.
Butt.
You know that butt wise. Butt wise. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It brought to you by AG1. Summer is for loosening up. Okay. Letting things slide a little. That's the point. That's part of the fun. But you can still cover your nutritional bases this season without putting a damper on summer fun with AG1. Just one scoop plus 8 ounces of water every morning. AG1 is a daily health drink with a multivitamin, pre and probiotics, superfoods, and antioxidants. One scoop, 8 ounces of water. The next gen formula delivers 75 plus ingredients backed by 4 clinical trials, clinically shown to support gut health, fill common nutrient gaps, and improve key nutrient levels within 3 months. Late nights, long weekends, spontaneous plans, life happens. AG1 helps you keep one thing consistent, high quality nutritional support every single day, no matter when or where you start your morning. AG1's great. It fits right into your routine. You can have it every morning. You know, you got your vitamins, you got your probiotics, you got all the things you need.
I took some today.
Wow.
Put a little AG1
today.
In my smoothie.
AG1 in the smoothie.
It's great.
Great. Drink AG1.com/loveit to get a free morning person hat and a free AG1 flavor sampler in your welcome kit with your first AG1 subscription. That's an $82 value. That's drinkag1.com/loveit.
I'm Dan Pfeiffer. For years, I've heard from candidates, activists, and political staffers who turn to PodSafe America for political strategy and messaging advice because they don't have access to a political consultant or a pollster. That's flattering to hear, but it's a huge problem. If we're going to defeat MAGA and protect democracy, we need everyone to have access to the best information and advice possible. That's why I recently launched MessageBox Pro, a subscription consulting product for people working at every level of politics. Subscribers get weekly strategy memos, data-driven messaging insights, and polling analysis. Plus, you get access to an incredible community of smart, committed political pros. Whether you're running for office, staffing a politician, organizing your community, or working in communications at any level, MessageBox Pro is built for you. To learn more or sign up, go to messageboxpro.com.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
We're back. It's Pride. And we all know what Pride is about, telling everyone who isn't us how to live. To help, Kel is going to propose some new rules and regulations in a segment we call They Them's the Rules. Kel will tell Michael and me our new rule. We will decide if we disagree with the new rule or if we agree that, hey, They Them's the Rules. Mm-hmm. And if we do all agree, it is binding.
Permanent.
Kel, take it away.
Alrighty, starting nice and easy, nothing too intense here. Now there are only going to be 4 TV shows. And we are all going to watch all of them, and then everyone's going to talk to me about them at the speed in which I watch them too. There's just simply too much. We need to simplify, so we're going to get 4. 1 sad, 1 scary, 1 gay. Oh, actually 2 gay. One of the gay shows is gonna take place in space, and the other one is gonna revolve around a sport that doesn't exist, like hockey.
I'm in on that. I'm
yeah,
good.
That's
Let's
a
do
great
it. 4
rule.
Is plenty.
Perfect.
4 is plenty.
That's a great rule.
Awesome.
4 at a time.
Yeah.
4 at a time.
Yeah, and that way no one's ever left out.
Yeah, I'm sick of people feeling left out of the shows.
And 4 is me and my girlfriend's magic number.
So. Cool, great. I love that. That's so beautiful.
Okay, so They Them's Rules?
They Them's the Rules.
They Them's the Rules. You know, the first time we played this, I never played
it right.
you can't play it wrong. Here's the thing, you can't play it wrong.
Yeah, new rule. I can't play this game
you
wrong.
You can't play it wrong.
Them's the rules. Okay, let's move on. Protein isn't good for you anymore. Enough. Why would you want to feel full and satiated when there's stuff out there like bread and cookies?
I do think protein's gotten out of hand. I think people have gotten out of hand. Everything's protein. You're like, this cake is protein.
Protein is protein.
Actually, you don't need to make this with... You can make this. Actually, you don't need to use flour. You can just make this with meat.
Yeah.
You know? I have yogurt that has protein in it at home. It's like protein yogurt at home. I have tortillas that are protein.
Mm-hmm. What's going on in that
what
tortilla?
What's going on in that tortilla? This is a great rule.
Yay!
Yeah, they them's the rules.
They them's the rules. So you actually should judge a book by its cover. Because it's not about how many books you've read, it's about how many you've purchased. Some people don't think audiobooks count as reading, but now even just thinking about reading a book counts as reading it.
I like that rule. Yeah. I really like that rule. I'm in. Great. I'm in on that.
You know, a thing that helped me buy more books, someone once said, stop viewing the books you buy as like a to-do list and view them as a wine cellar. And you collect them and then you go down into the cellar and pull out what feels right at the right time.
I love that.
Buy the books, okay?
I totally support buying books. My philosophy...
Oh, from the library. Actually, get them from the library.
Here's the thing about getting them from the library. I support getting...
Watch yourself.
I think we should have very well-funded libraries, yes. But at the same time, it's like get a book from a library as opposed to, if you can, buy a book and therefore support the industry of books, you know?
Yeah, it's complicated.
That is a really good point.
Why shouldn't I be supporting, if I can buy a book, shouldn't I buy a book?
We don't have time to get into it.
I will say, I do believe in starting more books, and people should be unashamed about quitting on a book. You should always quit on books. If you're done, stop. There's always more books, and if you're going to stick with a book, even though you're not having fun anymore, you may just not read as much. So just, if you...
That's
the
so
you're,
true.
I'm not saying you shouldn't...
Stop reading! Quote, John Lovett. Yes,
that's exactly right.
They them's
the rules.
So this one's, you know... A little, follow me, okay? If a restaurant is objectively nice, when you ask to take food home, they actually can't bring the container to the table. You have to slop it up there yourself for the world to see.
Yeah, I hate that.
So basically what I'm saying is that Clean Plate Club is mandatory now and anywhere where the waiter is nice to you. You know, since giving public slop is socially unacceptable, the least you can do is slop down your plate till it's squeaky clean. That way the restaurant can save money on washing less dishes. Not only is this the kind thing to do, it's good for the environment.
I'm a no on this one. I'm out.
What?
I'm out. I just think if you're going to, I just don't like if you're at a nice place and they bring out the container to the table and you're kind of like, you're pouring your carbonara into the thing and walking out with the whole restaurant's watching me. Look at this fuck. They're going to go home and eat that later. Disgusting.
Wow.
It should happen in the kitchen.
See,
away from
really
the.
I thought that one was like a four quadrant. We
no.
were all going to agree on it.
No, it's no. It's no.
I got to be honest. I did not follow it.
Yeah, no.
I did not
neither.
Follow that
me
one.
Me neither. Okay.
I don't think.
But maybe you'll agree on this. No entree is allowed to cost more than $20. And if you make me pay extra for fries, guillotine.
Wow. Honestly.
Whoever started
Viva la Revolucion.
Side not coming with sandwich. Get out of here.
Hey, do you think that if a place said, we are going to do something truly revolutionary, our burgers come with fries and salad, that you'd become like... the Jeff Bezos of places.
Oh my God, honestly, like,
hey, what about this? You can choose fries, salad, or half fries, half salad.
I would love that because I always feel so embarrassed when it's like, obviously fries.
Obviously fries.
Like, now
but you just want a little salad and a couple fries.
You just wanted to hear me
fries.
Say I don't want vegetables right now.
You
want to make me say it.
You want to make me look you in the eyes. I like vegetables. I just sometimes don't want them.
Yeah. Them's the rules.
Them's the rules. Okay, this one is a special. Everyone is presumed gay until proven straight. That's right, the closet is for straight people now. Time to switch it up, John. Unless I see you making passionate heterosexual love, and yeah, I'm watching. We will assume you are a homo.
I think it's a great rule. This is like the closet is like... the thing Superman goes into in Superman 2 when he turns Zod into human. You know what I mean? You go into the closet, you press the wrong button, and
absolutely.
Then all of a sudden, the guy that doesn't speak is getting shoved into the hole, right? After Superman throws the S. Remember when he throws the S?
Yes.
You're like,
I'm sorry, one of his powers is throwing the S?
Is throwing the S like saying a bad word?
No, he literally goes like this. He goes, shh, and it becomes a big cellophane S, and it like tangles up one of the goons, and they're like, oh no, dead.
We should have a movie night.
Okay. They them's the rules.
They them's the rules. We have to have a movie night.
Movie night.
Okay, and speaking of this really quick, plantar fasciitis is sexy now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool.
I mean, what could be hotter than like, you need to stretch your calves.
Yeah. Do you have one of those little balls that I could roll my foot on?
Yeah. I don't, but I do have a boot I wear every night to bed. Keeps my calf engaged.
That's sexy now.
Yeah.
They them's the rules. So they them's the rules.
You're going to love this one. All phones must use a unibody construction with vapor cooling chambers. Period, right?
They them's the rules.
They them's the rules.
The rules.
Also, just want to say having fidget spinners as an adult is now an act of maturity.
Okay.
Taking anxiety management into your own hands. Honey, that's not childish. That's called adulting. Thank you.
Yeah.
I just want to
say. They them's the rules.
Whoa.
Wow, great. Yeah. For sure. For sure.
That's going to get a million clicks.
Back in my day, back in my day, we didn't have fidget spinners. We just fucked up a pen.
Oh, yeah.
We just fucked up a pen until it was busted. We just, bits coming off, just a pen would come apart in your hand.
Blew all over your hand.
Yeah. Oh, the plastic thing, rip that thing off, open it up, close it up, fuck it up. That's what a fidget spinner was. Back in my day.
Wow.
Back in my day.
When you rode dinosaurs to school?
Yeah.
They them's the rules.
All right, let's leave it there. We'll be right back. And we're back. Now, it's time to take a loving stroll through everything we said and did and decide whether we are filled with regret in a segment we call Second Thoughts.
Amazing.
Michael and Kel, if you have any second thoughts about something from the show, you're welcome to share as well. First up, I did a Sex and the City joke, immediately followed by a Citizen Kane joke. Who is this show for? I compared San Antonio to Iran. I should have done more LA grocery store jokes. Those killed. Michael, I regret saying that therapy is, quote, over because I personally stopped going. I then immediately yelled at Michael Urie about the Spanish flu.
I was there for that.
Hey, Kel, I replied to you telling me about an 80s dance class with my classic host response of, wow. Wow. Why did I try to inject doubt into going to the library?
Yeah.
I mean, I like that. I want the libraries to see. I like the library, yeah. But it's not like the library's not a business where they're like, oh no, people didn't borrow enough books.
No, it is though.
What happens if we don't borrow enough books?
They get less funding.
What? How do
and
they?
And then libraries are third spaces for everyone to enjoy. So, well, we have to talk off pod about this.
I want the libraries. I want the libraries. I'm supportive of the library.
Somebody's like clicking how many people go in, and if not,
I don't know the
go
true inner mechanics, but I know we should all be supporting the public library.
Yeah.
And that's how you get an applause break.
I explained the plot of Superman 2, a film that came out in 1980. Who is this show for?
I was surprised when you said Superman 2, because I was like, aren't they on Superman, like, 50?
Do you have any regrets?
Any regrets? Just that I had probably 500 more they, them's the rules we could have gotten to.
Yeah.
I had one I was thinking for you.
Just a personalized they, them's the rule. Let's hear it.
Not a they, them's the rule.
Just a rule for me.
No, a second thought for you.
Oh, great. What do you think it should be?
I was thinking that it's actually okay to just take the question, who would you want to have dinner with, dead or alive, at face value? that it's okay to kind of just let that one be a get-to-know-you question.
But see, then I guess you don't really want to get to know me, because this is how, if you ask me that question,
I would have learned a lot about you.
Right, you've certainly gotten to know me, right? Is what's better, like, I don't know, Willie Nelson,
I think the problem was you asked Michael.
And then I interrupted.
And then you have to
right, I actually never got to, did he ever say anybody?
I did, and that would be my regret. I said, when you asked me who I would want to have dinner with dead or alive, I said, John Lovett dead.
Oh, you
right.
did?
That's what it was.
That was scary.
But the truth is, I don't want to.
And that's our show. Michael Urie, Kel Craig, thank you all for being here. There are 146 days until the midterm elections. We'll be back on Friday with Jay Bauer and Zach Zucker.
Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Kiefer, Sarah Lazarus, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
I'm Dan Pfeiffer. For years, I've heard from candidates, activists, and political staffers who turn to PodSafe America for political strategy and messaging advice because they don't have access to a political consultant or a pollster. That's flattering to hear, but it's a huge problem. If we're going to defeat MAGA and protect democracy, we need everyone to have access to the best information and advice possible. That's why I recently launched MessageBox Pro, a subscription consulting product for people working at every level of politics. Subscribers get weekly strategy memos, data-driven messaging insights, and polling analysis. Plus, you get access to an incredible community of smart, committed political pros. Whether you're running for office, staffing a politician, organizing your community, or working in communications at any level, MessageBox Pro is built for you. To learn more or sign up, go to messageboxpro.com.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.